Let's pray before we get started. God, we love you. We thank you for loving us. God, as I pray, as we just gather in this place, as we stand in this place, as we worship in this place, you would speak to us. God, we need to hear from you. We need your help. We need your wisdom. We need your spirit. God, I pray that you would give all of those things freely to us tonight, extravagantly, that you would hold nothing back from us in this place as we seek you. You tell us that we'll find you. God, help us to find you tonight. Help us to hear your word so deeply that it changes us, that we are not the same when we walk out those doors tonight. But you have made us and you have shaped us and you've molded us to be a little more like Jesus. God, thank you for your grace and mercy in our life. We love you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, you can go ahead and have a seat. How is everybody? Excellent, excellent. Well, it's a special night. Because we're continuing our relationship series, which is great, right? Have you enjoyed it so far? Like two of you, so that's great. And tonight, yeah, this area over here, they love it. So, and tonight, Jasper is joining us. So Canton, I want you to do something. On three, I want you to say, hey, Jasper, okay? Ready? One, two, three. Okay, now listen, that was great. They heard you. They heard you. Yeah, they did. They told me. I don't have an earpiece, so they didn't really tell me. But I want Jasper, so you're gonna have to listen really close, okay? Are you ready? I'm gonna get Jasper to say hey to you. You good with this? Jasper, on three, I want you to say hey to Canton. One, two, three. See? It was Canton. You had one job. You had one job. I'm just kidding. I didn't even cue that up. That was actually really good. Well, tonight we're going to continue our relationship series, and we're up in the ante tonight a little bit. So we're getting to the point where we're talking about some very crucial relationships, like the most crucial relationships that you will have. Because we know that like friendships are a very vital and important part of our relationships throughout our life. But there are relationships that are more important that we have to pay close and special attention to. And tonight, we're going to get to one of those. And probably the most, when we begin to dig into this relationship that we will have, even from a biblical perspective. So we're gonna talk about, and I'm gonna use this word, even though I don't like it, dating. I know. Gasping. And when I say this word dating, all of you, when I say that word, you have a picture in your head, a connotation in your head of what that means and how that plays out relationally. Tonight, I'm going to give you a contrast, and I'm hopefully going to help you understand from a biblical perspective how this relationship unfolds, what culture tells you about how this relationship unfolds, what God thinks about it, and the process that he's going to give you to succeed in it. Okay, so let me ask you a question. This is important. Have you ever noticed that most people end dating relationships? And I mean, like, if you look out in the world and you like examine the things, relationships that are going on, like in your schools, if you examine, you look out in the world, you realize that relationships that end, dating relationships that end, they don't normally end stronger. They end hurt, confused, carrying baggage. It's breakups and drama and jealousy and regret, right? But if dating is supposed to lead us to love, it's supposed to lead us to this grand relationship where we have somebody that we can rely on, how come the processes that we're going through don't ever end that way or don't seem to? They end wounded. I want to tell you that there is a simple reason that you're observing that. It's because there's two ways, different ways to approach relationships. There's God's way and there's culture's way. One leaves you stronger and healthier. The other leaves you beat up, tired, emotionally exhausted before you ever get to a forever point or to a marriage relationship. Tonight, we're going to look at the difference. And I think you have to hear this from somebody that wants to follow Jesus and wants God's best. That's what we're going to talk about. And there is a stark contrast to that when you look at what culture tells you is acceptable in a dating or a marriage preparation type relationship. And here's the deal. I told you I don't like the word dating. Courtship is more the word, but we're probably not gonna use that because it's bad. But we could say like, I'm in marriage preparation. How about that? Thank you. So from now on, like you can be like, this is my marriage preparation person. Instead of like boyfriend, girlfriend. Yeah, okay, whatever. Cool. So God designed relationships. Like he has, it's his idea, you know? And if we don't understand that, and I know you've heard that phrase probably every week, but if you're new tonight, I want you to get that God has designed relationships from the jump. That is literally the first thing for us. He put man and woman together. Like he made this relationship and put them together way back in the garden when he was creating everything. He created friendships and family, romantic relationships. All of it started with him. And especially a marriage relationship. It's the pinnacle of relationships that we get to as humans experience. It is the very top. It is the most important, the most valuable. And I don't want you to hear this from me. I actually want you to hear it from Jesus. So I'm gonna read you a passage. And if you've got your Bibles, you can turn this to Matthew 19. And loves Matthew 19, me too. But when we look at this passage, We see something, we get an insight from Jesus on how he created things, because he was there at the beginning when things were created. And in this passage, the Pharisees are trying to trap him. They're trying to ask him questions, and they're trying to stump him. But in this, he reveals his involvement in creating relationships and how important they are, and then how they work. Okay, Matthew 19, verse 1. Now, when Jesus had finished these sayings, he went away from Galilee and entered the region of Judah beyond the Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. I just want to pause that for, I think that's incredible. Jesus had these large crowds following him, and it says that along this journey, as they were following him, he healed them. Scholars think that at this moment in time, Jesus is just healing people, hundreds of them. One after another coming up to Jesus with some kind of ailment, something that they need, and him fulfilling that need for them. This is one of those moments that John talks about that If they wrote down all that Jesus did, then all the libraries of all the world could not contain it. That's what is being described to you here. And Jesus still does that in moments like this, that he heals what is broken, he corrects what is wrong, he gives grace. He gives exactly what is needed. So when I talk to you tonight, and I'm gonna lay out an argument for what biblical dating looks like, and it's probably gonna look very different for what you've been told dating looks like. When I tell you this, I want you to hear it from a dad. And we have conversations like this in my house all the time, in my kitchen. So y'all are in my kitchen right now, okay? I mean, luckily you don't have to go home with a pastor and listen to stuff like this all the time, but tonight you're here, so why not? So we're just gonna have a conversation in my kitchen about God's best for you. And I hope from this, even from the words of Jesus tonight, that he heals some things in you that might need to be healed. The cool thing is, he's still in the healing business. Jesus has not changed his posture towards us. He's still compassionate to us. He cares about what we feel, what we think, what hurts us, what makes us excited. He cares about those things. Okay, I'm gonna pause anymore because I don't have time for that. Okay, verse 3, the Pharisees came up to him and tested him by saying, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? He who created them. He's actually talking about himself. I'm right here, right? Jesus is like, that's me. And said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. There is no other relationship like this, he's pointing out. You will have no other relationship like this. That there were, God created in the beginning, male and female. He made these two creatures to have a very special relationship with each other. That they will become one flesh, one body, one entity, that then will produce what will become generation after generation after generation, all the way to us right now. So when I tell you we're talking about something vitally important and very valuable tonight, that's how much. That's the weight of how important this is. First thing, if you're taking notes, first point I got for you, and this is, reiterate, marriage wasn't invented by culture. It was designed by God. Marriage wasn't invented by culture. It was designed by God. And when God designs something, he knows how it works. If he's the designer, if he's the engineer, if he's the one that put it together, we can trust that he knows how it works and works best, most efficient. To receive the maximum out of his design. The most productivity out of his design, the best from his design. So if he designed it, he put it together, then we should probably pay attention to how he says to do it. The problem is a lot of times in when we listen to cultures, culture gets so loud. I mean, we're bombarded with it all day long. I mean, it's banged in our ear all the time to the point that you just get worn down. Am I wrong? Marriage or dating, say that, you know, dating, where culture gets this wrong, where culture gets dating wrong, is culture treats dating and marriage preparation more like entertainment, more like a pacifier, cheap. It can come and go as long as it's fulfilling maybe something that I need it to fulfill. Sometimes, you know, it's there because we're bored or something we do for attention, something we do for fun. Maybe it's social status. Maybe I like having a boyfriend or a girlfriend because, you know, it pulls me into a certain crowd that I want to be in. Oftentimes, it's self-serving in a emotional way. It can be self-serving in a physical way. But culture says that this is fine. That's okay. Like, you're just having fun, right? It's cool. What harm does this do? Well, it does a lot. And it begins to play out, and that's how lies work. They don't quite come to fruition or their full extent right away, but they grow. And they grow in us to the point that we begin to realize their devastation years later even. But God designed romantic relationships in such a different way. He designed them with a goal or an end in mind, a destination that he wants you to get to, and he wants to help you get there. What's the destination? And I mentioned it already. Anybody want to take a crack at it? What is the destination of dating? Thank you. The destination's marriage. Here's my marriage preparation person. Y'all are all going to use that from now on. I know you are. So totally. Thank you. Okay, which means this. Dating is supposed to help you determine if someone is going to be your future spouse. That literally is as clear as I can get it. It is supposed to prepare you to know, help you understand and know if this person is going to be my spouse that I am going to marry and build a life with. That's the point of it. And it wasn't designed for anything else, which means that, and this is the uncomfortable truth in all of this that I want you to hear me tonight say that is so important. If you're not ready for marriage, you're not ready to start dating. If you're not ready, if marriage is not on the horizon, like if you can't see it in close proximity to where you are in life and you're ready for that, you don't need to be dating. You're operating outside the time frame, the proper moment where you start preparing yourself to be married and discovering if this person is going to be the one that I am going to marry. And some of you say, yeah, I'm not ready to get married. Anybody in middle school ready? I'm just kidding. Don't answer that question. Just don't. Just don't. There are sometimes I have regrets of things that I say. I'm kidding. Oh my gosh. But some of you, I'm not ready to get married, and you're right. 100%, you're right. You are not ready to get married. And it becomes a very simple equation. If you're not ready to get married, you ain't ready to date either. Which means jumping into a romantic relationship right now usually creates problems for your future marriage, which your future marriage is gonna have to deal with. Okay, we got to speed through this because I want you to hear this. I'm gonna give you four things that culture says about dating. And what culture produces, the ways that culture produces. I'm gonna get this in a second, I promise. Okay. It creates several problems. One, it creates selfish relationships. When we follow culture in its way, it creates selfish relationships. Two people using each other to fulfill things that they are not responsible for fulfilling. Emotionally, physically. Two, it often leads to sexual sin. It often leads to sexual sin. When we enter into a relationship way before we are supposed to, and you know it and I know it. I promise you, I was in high school one time. And I saw a bunch of my friends enter these relationships and they got talked into some kind of, and under the promises a lot of times of, oh, it's okay, we're gonna get married. And that's fine. Which is a lie and it's manipulation. Number three, it places emotional expectations on someone that only someone that only Jesus can fulfill. Places emotional expectations on someone that only Jesus can fill. Your boyfriend, girlfriend, they cannot carry the weight of your identity or happiness. Your wife or husband can't carry this. Who carries this? Thank you. Jesus is the only one that can carry this for you. He's the only one with broad enough shoulders to make it happen. Last thing it creates cycles. You break up, loneliness, new relationship, repeat. And every time that happens, every time this cycle happens, where I'm done with this one, they're not fulfilling me anymore, you know, it's you, it's not me kind of deal, then we repeat this cycle, there's more wounds, there's more scars. There's more damage to them and to you. And girls, listen, I'm gonna tell you something right now, and I mentioned this earlier, but I wanna make it crystal clear. Let me just give this to you. If you are dating somebody right now, and your boyfriend is telling you that, oh, it's okay that we're having sex because I love you, or hey, we're gonna get married one day, so this is fine. It's not. He's manipulating you. And you need to break up with him tonight. So I'm talking to you as a dad. The difference in that is that love protects you. Love respects boundaries. Love wants you and them and you to honor God. That's what love looks like. Talk's cheap. Love is expressed by actions. God's foundation for relationships, Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're doing this real quick. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there. We're gonna be in verse 14 through 18. And it says, listen, this is the foundation of godly relationships, of godly preparation for marriage, of what this looks like. This is the foundation, okay? And he says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Baal? For what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, this comes from the Old Testament, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. First question. When it's time for you to start dating, right? I'm telling you, this is the operation when it gets to time. When you get to that horizon where you can see marriage on the horizon, these are things that you need to look out for, and you need to be yourself. First thing, the foundation of all of this, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
That was really rhetorical, but I'm so glad that you answered that.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. Here's the difference. It's not, do you go to church? Do you come on Wednesday night? Do they say they're a Christian? That's not enough examination. I want you to understand that. We need to dig deeper. Two, are we seeing the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Are we seeing those things displayed in their life? I gotta see it. This is a big deal. We don't take their word for it. We wanna see it. We wanna know it. We wanna see their foundation in Christ. And that has to be the start. All right, I'm gonna give you a few things. And this is what I feel like God's roadmap is for you for healthy relationships, marriage preparation relationships. One, the foundation in Christ has to start first. Number two, friendship. Be friends. This is a lot of times gets skipped. And this should last a long time. Friendship gets skipped because you go into relationships and, they're hot, so I'm going straight to kissing, right? Within the first couple of days, right? Again, we're going back to selfish again. But friendship, because really the whole thing should be friends, 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 engaged. What? That's crazy talk. But why not? What? Why? The third one is patience. Man, things that are valuable are willing. You should be willing to wait on them and sit in that relationship. Do the hard work of knowing them and understanding them. Remain friends until it's time, until marriage is on the horizon. And here's the thing, it requires like self-discipline. It requires you to be self-disciplined in who you are and resolute in whose you are. These are fruits of the Spirit, two of them at least. Self-control, patience. Number four, intentional pursuit. When marriage becomes possible, the relationship becomes very intentional. Not casual, not secret, intentional. I am pursuing you to marry you, to make a lifelong covenant where I will deny all others for you. And when we look at this, we have to understand that being prepared to be married means that, like, I can provide, guys, I can provide for a wife. You got to have a job. A job. You can't, you're not gonna provide for a wife on your allowance or your grass cutting money or whatever that is, I don't know. It ain't gonna happen. You gotta have a big boy J-O-B. A job, I'm sorry, I'll clarify. You gotta have a job. You gotta be able to provide for your wife and then a future family. That's what I mean by looking all over the horizon, am I ready to get married? And ladies in the room, for you, that's looking and saying, hey, am I ready spiritually and emotionally to be led by a dude? Am I there? Have I put myself under the authority of God and be led by him so that I can transfer that same superpower into my marriage? Okay. Number five, discipleship. Greatest predictor of success. In anything that you do in life, you can overlay this everywhere. The greatest predictor of your success in anything is that you have a mentor and a teacher that teaches you that. Greatest predictor of anything, of success in whatever you endeavor in your life. That's why discipleship is so important. For us, from a spiritual standpoint, we need people to mentor us and disciple us into following Jesus and what that means. And when we get to this point from a discipleship standpoint in a dating relationship, we have to have people that are gonna come alongside us that we give the ability to speak into our relationship, and they get to step in and say, no, you went too far. You went too far physically. You went too far emotionally. Y'all aren't communicating well. You're not operating as a team. You've got some growing to do, and I'm gonna help you do it. And a lot of times, this is the key, is that we have people and we have given people permission in our life to speak into us. Because the enemy wants us to be isolated and alone. He doesn't want you to have voices that are gonna speak truth to you. He just wants to lie to you, get you all by yourself, and then you're done. That's his tactic from the very beginning. Don't give him the chance. Don't give him the chance. Invite people to speak into your life. Ask your parents to do that. If you don't have that opportunity, you got small groups leaders here that would love to. You got Dave, you got me, you got Cecily, you got people all over this place would love the opportunity to help speak into your life. Don't forfeit that predictor of success. Use it. Last thing. Engagement, marriage, sex. It's written up there, everybody. You can read it. Yeah, hallelujah. Yes. That's right. Amen. You should be excited about that, but not the other way around. Like if you're clapping because it says sex up there, but you're doing it in the wrong order, you need to stop clapping. Because I promise you, it ain't gonna end up good. It won't. You're outside of the designer's plan. But when you do it in the right order, the Bible says it's as worship to the Lord. What? Yep. That's what it says. That when we do this in God's order, we do it in God's way, it's as worship to him. And we do it in his way. The standard reveals the value. Some of you may hear this and say, man, I just can't do this. This is really hard. And here's the truth. The standard you set reveals the value you place on something. The standard that you set, and for anything, the standard that you set reveals the value that you have in that thing. Think of it, what do you do with anything valuable? If I got something valuable and I don't want anybody to steal it or destroy it or take it away, I stick it in a big vault that's got 6-foot concrete walls and a big door, and I shut that door with 14 locks on it. That's what you do with valuable things. You put standards around them that protect them from getting damaged and hurt. I want you to hear me say this. That's how God feels about you. So much so that he has placed standards around the valuable things for you, like romantic relationships. They're that valuable. They're that valuable to him on your behalf. If it's valuable, you protect it. Some of you tonight are gonna say, listen, Chad, I've messed up already. I've already been in those kinds of relationships that you're talking about that are not godly. And I get it. It feels good in the room right now to kind of snicker about it and, oh, you know, it's not that bad. It's not gonna do anything to me. Yeah, I wish that were the case. There will be repercussions, and it will be repercussions that you will experience in the relationship that you care about the most, which is going to be your wife or your husband. That's the scary thing that I don't want for you. I can tell you that I have counseled hundreds of couples that have experienced this very thing. They had multiple sexual partners before they got married. They gave themselves to all kinds of relationships, and every one of them came with baggage that they then had to deal with in their marriage that took them a long time. And sometimes couldn't be fixed. And I tell you this because I love you. And you're at a point that you can pull back. You can say, that doesn't have to be my reality. It doesn't. And I want Jesus to walk through this large crowd and heal some of that tonight. Jesus doesn't just give us standards. He doesn't just offer us direction. He offers us grace. The grace in Jesus is much greater than the sin in you. Much greater. Your past doesn't have to disqualify your future. My wife and I, we have our own story of redemption. God has healed, but it took time and it wasn't fun. It would have saved a whole lot of heartache. But God restores and he gives new beginnings. But it has to start with surrendering to Jesus and his way. You can't walk out of here. And here's the thing. I hope you know, you can't walk out of here not knowing what you know now. So there's gotta be a point of surrender where you say, listen, Chad, I get it. I don't want that. I wanna have a great marriage. I wanna have a great family. I want joy and peace in my home in the future. Maybe I've never experienced that, but I want that. It can start with one decision tonight. And that decision is simple. I'm gonna follow Jesus. Pray with me. God, I love you. And I'm so grateful for this time. I'm so grateful for your truth. And God, I pray that tonight, that for those in the room that have experienced these kinds have experienced these kinds of relationships that are so destructive, God, would you gently speak words of truth over them? I pray that you would overcome their resistance and pride. Their sense of, well, I can't really adjust now. I've gone too far. I need to just keep up this act. And God, you would break that tonight, and you would build something back beautiful. And that they would look back years from now on the truth of your word that they received tonight when they are laying in the bed with their wife or their husband, and they would begin to weep in gratitude for how powerful your word has lived out in their life. God, would you do that? Would you start it tonight? Would you begin it right here in Canton and Jasper, that tonight that you would unlock something in us, produce something in us that we can't produce in ourselves. But God, we know that has to start with a surrender to you. And church, if that's you tonight, and you've never laid a foundation of Jesus in your life, I want to just give you the opportunity to do that. Because you can't do it on your own. He doesn't want you to. You're not able to. He wants to come and help you, change you. And if that's you tonight and you are ready to surrender to Jesus, to give him your whole life, to trust him with everything, I just want you to pray with me real quick. And I'm just going to help lead you in a prayer. It's nothing magic or special. Just gonna help you start a conversation.